Welcome to Team Talk, your weekly advisory services podcast for field, news, and views. Thanks for joining in. I am Mike McGreevy. We've got a special end-of-the-year episode for you today, so instead of news bulletins, we're going to open up the mic, get a little bit off-topic, and have some fun talking about the year in review. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Team Talk. This is our 2023 year in review, unscripted extravaganza. I am joined by my co-host, Lacey McDonald. Hey, Lacey.
Howdy. It's lovely to be here, and there's no pressure whatsoever in being only two people reviewing an entire year.
We have been plagued by various sicknesses over the last couple of weeks, and so what was going to be a full team effort in our unscripted extravaganza has resulted in just Lacey and myself showing up to this call to record, but we're going to run with it. So what I'm thinking we'll do here is follow the 4L's retrospective play and just talk a little bit about the year 2023, what we loved, what we longed for, what we loathed, what we learned. And we'll wrap up by talking about what we're looking forward to in 2024. How does that sound to you, Lacey?
Well, it sounds absolutely wonderful. Why, thank you for asking, Mike.
Wonderful. So why don't we start with question number one. Lacey, what did you love about the year 2023?
That it's ending. No, but seriously, I love the fact that I'm sitting here with a glass of wine, talking with a coworker about the different things that have happened in 2023. I feel like that's a theme. Over the course of the year, we've gone through a lot of changes in advisory services, and one constant is us being there for one another. That cozy kind of homey feel has not been lost, and I appreciate that very, very much, to the point where it is beyond me what better end it could be to sit drinking some wine and talking about the fact that I love being at Atlassian.
That's a great answer. And I feel like my answer to this question for the past several years has been, I love that the year is over. I think in general, the past few years have all been quite the doozy in their own lovely, unique way. But that's not my official answer this year. I'm actually going to, it's not work related, but I'm going to say that my love this year was back in March. For my spring break vacation, I went to Disney World for a week. So that is my love. And I say that because it was my first time there. In fact, both my wife and I planned this trip. It was both of our first times there. And we did it just kind of like on a whim. We planned it in like 3 weeks from the point we decided, hey, let's do this thing, to the point we actually did it. And it was fantastic. I immersed myself in the Star Wars world and went on the Rise of the Resistance ride several times. And it was just like me being a kid, even though I'm like totally not a theme park, huge crowds kind of person. I'm kind of an indoor kid kind of person, but this particular theme park really spoke to me about that. So that was a nice way to just kind of dive into the year as far as vacations go. That's my love of the year.
I am totally jealous. I've never been to Disneyland, Disney World. I don't know which is in which state, but did you blog about it? Did you put pictures anywhere? Because I want to live vicariously through you,
Mike. I did not, but you know what? I will post a picture in the publishing of this blog or of this podcast. So you can check the show notes. There will be a picture of me with some sort of Star Wars creature saying hello. I'll scroll through my phone and drop one in there. But no, I didn't blog about it. I'm not a very good blogger,
for
I
shame. Admit. Yeah. Well, did you stay at that new fancy Star Wars hotel?
No. So that hotel is closing, actually. So one, it was like super expensive to do so. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm on a little bit limited budget as it is. That's just gonna be out the door. But then we learned like several months later that it closed. I guess it was also out of budget for most people. So it's like, I don't know what they're going to do to retool that. I'm sure some of our colleagues who are bigger Disney fans than we are may have the inside scoop there. But yeah, I was bummed to learn that.
So if we're next going to talk about what we longed for this year, I long to know if the food at Disney is good.
Some of it, yeah, some of it, no. I think we made a, so my wife is really good about scoping out, reading reviews, doing all of the capturing of, you know, sentiment around things. From what I understand, like some of the like major events with like costume characters in like the castle ball or something, the food there is not great. But we found a few places that were like kind of, you know, more hidden and less mainstream, I guess I would use to describe it, that were just great, actually. But it was kind of hit or miss, I would say, overall.
It just makes me wonder how close it is to medieval times. And now, for those of you who don't know what medieval times is, maybe you're from a different geo, maybe you just, you know, aren't from the East Coast or West Coast or anywhere that they have them. You literally can have a plate served to you with just like a huge greasy turkey leg on it, and you have no other choice but to pick up the turkey leg and just gnaw on it. And that is the experience I expect from Disney. I don't know why.
That I would have been horrified that, because that's my nightmare. I am very much not a like food on your face kind of eater. I'm very much a knife and fork sort of person. I always use way too many napkins in any sort of setting that would require them. That doesn't sound great. But I would like to see Medieval Times, the show, at least once.
Well, it's jousting, really.
I like jousting. Not that I want to joust, but being entertained by other people doing it could be fun.
So if anybody doesn't know what jousting is, basically you ride on a horse and you hold a big stick and you're riding towards somebody else holding a big stick, and you hope that they don't stab you with their stick and knock you off the horse. So that being said, I don't think I would want to joust because I think that would hurt.
Yeah, it would sound painful in a lot of ways. But... Well, for me, my long for in 2023 was actually, I really was hoping to get a little bit more work travel in, particularly visiting customers, which I did zero customer visits in the year since transitioning into my ESS role. The Shade opportunity wrong. Has not... not presented itself. I did enjoy the opportunities at Team 24 and RKO, and then most recently the value realization training. But I miss people. I miss seeing people in a work context, both colleagues at like the internal events, and then just working with customers in person at their sites. And so that's something that I certainly longed for this past year.
You know, I facetiously said that I longed for Disney and all that good stuff, but I do think that I long for human contact. It is very difficult to work at your own computer, especially, you know, I don't have a big family. I don't have kids running around or anything like that. So it can be almost like isolating when all you hear is the clickety clack of the keyboard. Mechanical keyboards rule, by the way. And
so does noise cancellation software for those of us who like to use said mechanical keyboards.
Yeah, Crisp is your friend.
Yes.
I definitely slam on the keyboard. Did you actually sign up for the keycaps, the Atlassian keycaps? Have you heard of that?
No, that is news to me. What is that?
Oh my God. So there is a Slack channel called Mechanical Keyboards, and there was a group fund for Atlassian keycaps for mechanical keyboards.
I will have to check that out.
Yeah, you might be a little bit late.
Yeah, that's all right. That's
but just there's a hell of a lot of channels on Slack that I just am learning so much about in this year. So as much as I longed for human contact, at least I have that digital Atlassian contact through Slack, whether it's the metal channel, the alt metal channel. I like metal. But yes, there are a lot of channels out there if you just search for some keywords.
I will have to do that. I'm in a couple. I think I'm in a gaming channel, which, you know, makes sense. But I find that I just get overwhelmed so easily with all of the things in Slack because there are too many channels, and like trying to stay on top of the stuff I need to stay on top of so that I can, you know, populate my team talk scripts week to week is just enough for me. And then anything else is like a cherry.
Well, do you utilize categories?
I do, yes.
And it's still too much. See, I have starred, I have primary, I have priority, then I then I have announcements and other AS channels. But I like the fact that I have primary and priority. It really begs the question, which one's more important?
Yes. Which one is more important?
What do you think?
The one that is closer to the top of your screen.
You're good. You're good. It's primary. Primary is the top priority.
Primary. Fair enough. Well, let's shift over into what did you loathe about 2023?
Oh, gee. I did not have very good luck in 2023. 2023 was a very difficult year for me on a personal level, whether it's illness or life changes otherwise. The people that know me the best listening to this are probably thinking like, yeah, Lacey, you had a lot of big life changes. Oh my God. I'm not going to get into every single one, but I did not like how isolated I felt during those life changes. And I definitely missed the camaraderie and the support that comes with seeing people face to face. I definitely could have used more of that.
I'm sorry to hear that you had such a shitty year for those reasons. And, you know, hopefully we've got some improvements coming next year.
I also want to throw in one little mention about loathing.
Yes.
What the hell with these CVEs?
No, that one is up there. That's rough. I have no response to that other than, yeah, no, that kind of sucks. So for my loathing, you know, there's been a lot of changes here at Atlassian in the past year. Just kind of big organizational shifts and direction and reorgs and whatnot. But I think the big one that was just, you know, really sunk me down a whole lot was the layoffs earlier in the year. That was just kind of a huge bummer on things and just, you know, a thing that, like, I would say blindsided me in terms of, you know, what to expect working at Atlassian. So that was not fun, and just kind of, you know, having to say goodbye to folks that I worked with was, you know, just kind of out of the blue, kind of a big bummer. So that was probably my big work-related loathe in 2023.
Did I tell you how I found out about that?
You did not.
No. I was still on FMLA and Jason messaged me, my manager. He's like, you should check your email. I'm like, okay. And then I just get this like capitalized email about job security and all this other stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, did I get fired? Did I just get let go? And then come to find out that all of these people wound up getting the axe. And it's just like, how is this Atlassian?
Yeah, I just found it to be a very awkward week after the fact, because like, I love that Atlassian allowed folks to stick around for a week, write their goodbye blogs, I mean, you know, try to make peace with the situation. Glad to see some folks have the opportunity to rejoin in different roles. But I just remember it was an awkward week of like no one talking to anyone about anything, mm-hmm. because no one knew if anyone else was impacted. And, you know, we canceled team talk that week. Like, I messaged Matt Shelton. I'm like, hey, I don't know if I still have a team. And I don't really want to talk about, like, exciting news at Atlassian when some people just got some really bad news. Yeah. So I'm like, well, cancel that. We'll regroup. But then, like, everything, it was just a super quiet, awkward week to try to navigate. And really just, you know, if you weren't feeling isolated then, you certainly didn't help. So. Certainly not a fun portion of 2023, and fingers crossed we don't have similar occurrences en masse moving forward. So that brings us to our fourth L. Hopefully we can lift it up from there. What did you learn in 2023 that you are proud or happy to have learned?
Oh, geez. Now, from a work perspective, I definitely learned a hell of a lot more about Beacon and about analytics than I heretofore had known. Do I get points for using that word?
Double points.
I was proud of myself for being a self-starter and getting ahead of the jump, because those are newer capabilities. Looking into automation and security, always big with our customers. But I think one thing I also learned this year was that Atlassian doesn't just talk, it also walks the walk in some regards, whether it be the restructuring of advisory services and the different ways that our managers tried so hard to stem the flow of questions and concerns and rantings. You know, I'm not saying I ranted, but I might have ranted, especially after coming back from FMLA. And even on that, like, I have never had a company care so much about my health and the outreach from people in the form of get well cards or little care packages of puzzles to put together. Like, I'm looking up at a wall right now and it says, thank you for the amazing job you do every single day. I learned that as isolated as I sometimes feel, as alone as I sometimes feel, I'm probably not as isolated and alone as I do feel. And sometimes all it takes is a Slack message here or there, or just putting out a blog, and you'll garner some reactions. You'll gather some people to say, hey, I thought that too, or, oh, that was something I was wondering about. I think that that's why Slacking and blogging are so important. Not only that it gets your brand out there, but it gets you out there as a person in this increasingly remote world where, as you said, you didn't get the opportunity to travel as much as you would have liked. Words on a page become so much more important. And I learned this year that I have to be as genuinely transparent as possible in order to feel those connections.
Yeah, I would say my learned is less work-related and more personal-related, but it is based in technology. I learned, or I'm learning, how to use Blender to power my hobby of 3D printing. So as folks know, I'm an avid board gamer. And I play one board game in particular, way much more than any other, that's called Gloomhaven, or the new version, which is called Frosthaven, which is a campaign-based dungeon delving tabletop miniature game. And I have started augmenting that game by 3D printing various terrain tiles, and, you know, things like treasure chests and trees and little skeleton monsters and all that sort of thing. And so I've taken it upon myself to learn how to use Blender, because I have, you know, found some models that are built on like a magnetic connecting system. And I've decided to like expand on that and take the models that I'm able to find online, put it into this, you know, magnetic connecting system that I can build, and then like resize and retool as needed to build like custom shaped things for my little game. And then I print them out, and then I paint them, and I put them on the table. And then my friends come over and they're like, you spend way too much time on this, but we appreciate it. And I say, thank you. And so that's been the thing I've learned is Blender for 3D printing to augment my very intense board gaming hobby.
Okay, well, first of all, I think I speak for every listener when I say that's freaking adorable. And second of all, did you ever play Dungeons and Dragons?
I did, yes. Not regularly. So I've played it a couple of times in like one-off scenarios, but I never got into D&D because I'm very much a, like, I need a very discrete set of rules that I can follow and that I can use to my advantage by, like, putting interesting combinations of rules together to try to break the system, so to speak. So, like, you give me a rule book. So that's one of my superpowers when it comes to like my love of the board gaming hobby is that I'm very much, give me a set of rules for how to play a game. I can absorb those rather quickly. I can teach those, you know, within an hour after absorbing them. And then I can start to abuse those rules to try to find, okay, well, here's this interesting interaction between these two rules where there's a space between them that lets me do something that is slightly overpowered to get ahead over my opponents or whatever the objective of the game might be. And so when it comes to D&D, like I played a couple of one-offs where it was very, you know, the DM was very much into the storytelling aspect and the what do you want to do and let me roll the dice and here's the thing that happens. And I'm like, okay, I appreciate that there's specific rules for building a character and there's specific things you can do at certain levels. And I liked that, but it was just a touch too free form for me to feel like I could really sink my teeth into it all that aggressively. So while I've played it and I've enjoyed it, it's never been something that was like a main course for me.
So you're a loophole golem.
Yes, I am a loophole golem. That's exactly right.
So that's interesting. There are so many games that have stringent rules and they almost invite you to question it and to pit the rules against each other, like Exploding Kittens. Have you ever played that?
I have, yes.
I played that with a couple of friends a week or two ago, and we had like one of the expansion packs and we couldn't figure out what to do when you would actually run out of cards in the deck. So we started making up our own rules and I got to make up some rules, and I definitely made up rules that would play in my favor. So that way I would win. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rules are fun, and you start to learn so many of different rules across so many different types of games, and you start to identify different themes in like how games implement certain mechanics, to the point where like sometimes I'm halfway through reading about how to play a game and you could throw away the rule book and I could tell you how the rest of the rules work, because it's just logically how those rules must work and for the order for this to be like a cohesive, successful game. And so like I'm often the go-to rules person in my group who's like, how does this work? And like either I don't know and I can make a really good guess at what it's supposed to be, and a lot of times it turns out that is correct. Or I just, you know, make a call in the moment and say, let's play this way, and then we'll look it up after the game. And we do that. And it's, you know, most of the times happens to be a reasonable assumption. But I really love those games that have just like a massive amount of lots of intricate little rules. So my favorite game is Twilight Imperium, which is like an 8 to 12 hour all day game, massive rule book, like all these different interactions that come together, all these different systems that come together. And it's very much a matter of like, how do I put all of these systems together in order to achieve this set of objectives? And it's a very fun puzzle in my mind to try to solve. So
yeah, maybe it's just a lack of patience on my end, but games like Risk, that can take hours, or Ticket to Ride. Games that can take hours upon hour to strategize against your foes and all this other stuff. You know what? I don't have patience for that. I don't. Give me something like Deceit or I don't even know. Jackbox, right? Those that delve into the way that other people think, the way that they strategize in terms of banking on their own intelligence, there I thrive. I can read people. I got that. But pages upon pages of rule book, no thank you, sir.
No hate to the party game. Some of my favorite games are like, there's two rules to the game. It's the simplest mechanics possible, but the mind games that it opens up, trying to predict how other people are going to play within the confines of these two very simple rules is intriguing. One of my favorite games to bring to the table for people who are not gamers, it kind of like sitting around at a bar, is a game called Skull. And it's essentially a bluffing game. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's essentially, you've got four discs in your hand. Three of them have pictures of flowers on them. One of them has a picture of a skull on them. And on your turn, you can either put one of the discs face down on a pile in front of you, or you can predict how many other players' discs you can flip up without revealing a skull. The idea being, did the other players bluff me into thinking that they played flowers on their table, or did they play a skull to try to get me out. And so it's a very just very basic rules, but it's all about what are my opponents thinking about how they're trying to manipulate me and how can I try to manipulate them.
Oh, that's glorious. So there's this other game about you have, say there's five people playing. You have four people who are rebels, and then you have one person who's a spy. And you have to guess who's the spy just by interacting with them every single turn.
Are you thinking of the Resistance?
Yes!
Yes! I love the Resistance.
I love that you knew the game that I'm talking about. I couldn't, it's in my game closet and I can never remember the title of it.
Yeah, if it comes to like social party game style things, if it has a hidden role mechanic, I'm all about it. That's one of my favorite things. Yeah, particularly if I get to be the bad guy when I'm playing, because I'm usually pegged to be the spy, even if I'm not, just because the way that I fulfill like this teaching role, everyone's like, oh, you know how this plays, you know how to deceive people, you're the one. And so I put those games, but I love them.
Yeah, usually I get marked as a spy, but only because I'm devious. I'm the evil one in my friend's group, so they just kind of automatically assume that I get assigned evil parts.
Yep, I know how that goes. All right, we've been talking about games for not nearly long enough, but we do have to move on. Okay. So last question, what are you looking forward to in 2024?
Less CVEs.
That's not a guarantee.
Aside from that, maybe more digital get-togethers. If we can't get together in person, then I know Zuger had put together something called Tuesday Talks, and it was an attempt at after-hours discussion where people could, you know, pull up to the drive-thru window, order something, maybe have a drink on them, and just talk, just offload about whether it's work, something personal. And just get to know the other people in advisory services a little bit better. I'm looking forward to that as a concept, getting to know people better in advisory services. And if in-person events don't lend themselves to us, then I think we should take charge and make more digital intentional togetherness events. We have the budget for it. We have initiatives for it. I look forward to banking on it.
I would certainly be in support of such an endeavor as well. So count me in if something comes into existence. For me, I'm going to go to, once again, the vacation front. I like, you know, talking about past ones and looking forward to future ones. But I've got a trip to the Turks and Caicos Islands planned in February. It's a destination my parents have been going to for the last several years. And they've every year they're like, hey, we're, you know, renting a house. You're welcome to come. Do you want to come? And I'm like, oh, it's kind of a hard time because my wife can't get away from work because she works in middle school. In middle of February, trying to get time off is a very, very tall order. And so this year I finally said yes, only because my mom's brother and sister are both going. And it's been maybe 10 or 15 years since I've had like extended interactions with them outside of like a 20-minute conversation at the one wedding I see them at during the year. So it'll be a bit of an interesting combination of folks going. It'll be my parents and my uncle and my aunt, and then a couple of other folks who are joining them. But it's a destination I've been wanting to check out, and I get to scope it out. I'm going without my wife, who is, in fact, staying home. She has given me permission to travel. To scope it out for a potential future destination for just the two of us. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. Looking forward to that next year.
Are your parents and extended family characters?
They can be, yes. Yes. So, yes. Certain conversations will be off limits. But it'll be a good time, regardless of various political affiliations.
Well, I feel like I've grown to know you as a person, Michael.
And I have grown to know you, Lacey, and our audience has grown to know us. That should probably bring us to a close of our holiday extravaganza Team Talk podcast 2023, featuring Mike and Lacey just talking about whatever, year in review, looking ahead. But thanks everybody for listening. This was an interesting experiment, and hopefully we'll have a chance to do more shows in this format next year. Even though I know everyone loves the news bulletin format that we've got going on today. So thanks everybody. We are offline for the next couple of weeks for the holidays. I believe our next episode is scheduled for January. Looking at the calendar, January 9th is a Tuesday. So that is the next time you will hear from your Team Talk podcast. And that's a wrap. Be sure to check out the show notes for links related to everything you just heard, plus a few extras that didn't quite make the episode. I am Mike McGreevy. Thanks for coming to our Team Talk.